Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We will give away a four-pack of Rangers tickets at some point in this hour. But my question for everybody is, do you believe the Mavericks hold a psychological advantage going into this game? And then we'll also walk through the reasons the Mavericks now and later need to lower Luka's usage rate. So Maxi Kleba said, I think the pressure is more on their side to win the games. We have at this point nothing to lose, so we just go out there and play free. And that came up before game four. That came up with like maybe a different style of the fan base coming into the arena. Do you buy into the Mavericks have a psychological advantage? Because I know Golden State does not want to go back to Dallas. Not to say that they're doomed or anything, but I know they don't want to go back to Dallas.
I don't quite believe that.
Okay.
I want them to believe it, though. Like, I want Jason Kidd to be in there doing his, look, they can't guard us one-on-one. They have to play zone, those weaklings. Now, when we go into zone, it's because we're good.
Zones are for cowards.
But, like, I want them to be so into their own bubble that they're not worried about anything else. So, I don't think that they have a psychological advantage per se.
Okay.
I just think that it is interesting. How much do you not want to go back to Dallas versus how much do you want to win this game? And I think that Golden State's more focused on just on winning the game rather than any other things. But when do they feel pressure? Because they don't look to me like a team that feels pressure. They look to me like a team, like the way Steph runs around and does his thing. Draymond's going to be mad about something at some point in the game. And Clay, most oftentimes, just looks like he's a deer in the headlights. And then he's going to hit a three on you at the second half. So who's feeling that pressure of having to win this game? Maxi, I hope you guys believe that. That's what y'all have to do is buy in for each night and have a new motive for that game. I guess they don't want to lose, like Steve Kerr and company don't want to give too many minutes away to guys that don't deserve them so they can try and close it out. So maybe some of the decision-making would be on Steve Kerr with the pressure, but man, he's felt that before. Like his whole life has been pressure. Like he gets it. He's won championships at so many different levels. So I'm not buying it. But do you think that it exists, or do you think that Golden State is too good of a team to actually feel that way?
That is exactly what I think. Now, I think there could be a psychological advantage if the Mavericks could win this game and then go back to Dallas. Again, not to say that they're going to win the series, but I think they would have a definite pronounced psychological advantage going into game six. And then game seven, all bets are off, especially if you came back from a 3-0 deficit. But like, sports logic tells you that this will be like the Nuggets series and that this was, you know, game four was the Mavs' last stand and the Warriors will finish it off in game five. So I am not of the opinion that the Mavericks have a psychological advantage in this, but I would love it if that were the case.
All right, let me ask, this is way ahead of schedule here, but let's say they do win this one and they do push it to a game seven. Like, are you looking at that going still house money? Or are you looking at that going,
no,
man, now the pressure's really on both sides for both teams? Because for the Mavericks, if it isn't a house money type idea right now, that we're just here, we're getting the experience, we're exploring and learning what we can do. I'm at game seven, now you have a chance.
And I think that way one game sooner. Like
even game six?
Okay. Yeah. I think if the Mavericks, which I'm not picking them to win tonight, but I do think if the Mavericks win tonight, you can win this series. Like I realize I'm well aware of the concept of 146-0. That's what teams in the NBA are when they're up 3-0. And you know how many times do you think teams have gotten to a game seven?
In 3-0, down 3-0? Never.
Three times.
Okay. Wow, that's impressive.
The Mavericks were on the wrong end of one of those, but luckily then they won. Well, I say on the wrong end because they lost those three games to get it back to game seven, but they did win. So teams have only gotten to game seven three times out of that 146 times. So logistics tell you they lose tonight. If they win tonight, it's 3-2. And all you have to do is win back at home, which you shellacked them last time at home. And then game seven, well, last time we were in a game seven, you shocked the world. So I heard what Troy and RJ said this morning. I'm not ready to go that far down the path, but I'm done with house money if they were to win tonight.
Like this, and house money wouldn't even exist if they'd have won game two. Like that's the frustrating part about losing game two.
Yes.
The way that you did is you would actually be in a position of power right now, probably.
Yes.
If you had won game two, which you should have won. And I think that I don't know if it's Jason Kidd or the team that's going to look back and say, dang it. Now, maybe Kevin, because he didn't call that timeout and he gave his team the freedom and opportunity to do that and they failed.
Yeah.
Pretty historically. Like, yes. You know, this is the Mike Maddox theory that I always had was he's going to let you fail. And then when you fail, you will listen to him because you need to listen to him. So maybe they are back in the, like, that proved it them. Okay, we gotta listen to Coach. We weren't doing the things he wanted us to do, which was what? He wanted them to go get better shots, and he wanted them to drive to the basket. And they wouldn't. They refused to do those things while they were up because they were like, we'll just keep hitting these big threes and everything will be fine. And he was like, no, we need to do these other things to this team specifically. So maybe he did get them to learn a little bit. But like, that's a very frustrating part about, I guess I keep saying young team, but we established they're the eighth oldest team in the NBA.
So
maybe it's the part of being young and the experience of learning how to win and win these types of series whenever it gets this big.
Now, we've touched on bits and pieces of this article over the last few days, but wanted to dive into why it matters so much is I was looking at usage rate stuff on this article on The Ringer. And like I said, I know we've touched on some of these things, but number of seasons with a usage rate of 35% or higher. Now, Luka, his usage rate in the playoffs is at 40%, which is the highest mark ever for a player in a postseason. But let's just look at regular season. Seasons with a usage rate of 35% or higher. Do you view players like James Harden, Kobe, and Allen Iverson as like pretty damn ball dominant players?
Yeah. Yes.
James Harden had three seasons ever of 35% or higher usage rate. Kobe, three. Allen Iverson leads all players at four. Luka's already up to three. Like, he just started his career. He's already had tied for the second most seasons ever of 35% usage rate or higher. Here's the problem with that. Since 1983-84, which is when they started the usage rate percentage, because I'm sure Wilt Chamberlain was like, I don't know, 60% or whatever. Here's the outcome for teams with a 35% usage player. Nine of them missed the playoffs. Eight of them lost in the first round. 10 of them lost in the second round. One of them lost in the conference finals. One of them lost in the finals. And none of them won the title. So you see with Luka, He's the third player with a usage rate this high to even make the conference finals, let alone advancing beyond those metrics.
Okay, and I appreciate your statistics here, Kevin. I will go out on the limb to say that he's different and maybe could buck that trend.
Different than Kobe and Iverson?
Yeah, and they were different. They obviously had different teams with him, them too, right? Like, you know, here's Shaq, and they're like, hey, all right, so who today can you compare to Kobe? Shaq's like, nobody. You're an idiot. What are you even saying right now? Nobody's compared to Kobe. And they're like, what about Kai? No. Nobody works as hard as that dude. Maybe Michael. Like, if you're going to say compare somebody to Michael, I would probably compare Kobe, and that's it. That's what Shaq said. And he was like, but nobody in this game is touching him. But he had Shaq. You know, he had Lamar Odom. He had other guys. He had Derek Fisher, who could also be the point guard in that game too. James Harden is that's interesting to me because James Harden's success level is not even like close.
Yeah.
In that, even though he's been a very successful player on his stat sheet. Luka, Kevin, has known nothing else playing against men other than I'm the point guard that dominates the ball. Like since he was 16, he was playing against men. So like this is nothing new to him. This isn't like, so I'm curious as to whether he will or will not wear down. Now, who's the person that's going to go to him and say, hey, we have to do things differently for your career? Is it Kidd? Is that Nico? I don't think it's Mark. But
Kidd, because Kidd's probably experienced like a similar, not trajectory, but like a similar possibility of being thrust into that role.
Yeah, so like that's where I'm looking at this saying, okay, who's going to tell him that, and is he going to care? Or is he going to just be like, no, I'm still the best option? This is a very curious thing whenever we're trying to figure out who's the right-hand man for Luka, because Jalen seems to, and maybe I'm wrong, at the moment, he seems to be fine being in that gear this season because he knows what could come to. He's going to get a payday. But will he want to be a number one? Will he want to be the guy that's like, this is my team? And whatever other dude you bring in, does he has to say, this is your team, Luka, but also be able to produce at a, you know, sub-Luka level. So that's where I'm trying to figure out, how do you get those usage minutes down other than your team has to be more capable? And I don't know if you've seen the Ringer's Rob Mahoney article where he suggested that this team may not need that many changes in order to be a championship team. I mean, here they are in the Western Conference Finals. So, like, what do you really want to make some big overhaul changes so you can do that? Or are you looking at it going, maybe just tweak this and tweak that and we're good?
Yeah, no, I mean.
And then Luka's, if you let's say you add Rudy Gobert. That's not changing Luka's usage minutes. Like, that's not changing. If anything, it might make it even better where he's using it just as much because, hey, I can throw it to the big man down low.
Yeah, I wonder if it would slightly alter his usage just a little bit in terms of, like, there could be another bit here and there where at least Rudy's grabbing the board before we really get going, but that would be a minute change. And I do see this, and I understand this, is the Warriors are 8-0 at home and know how to close. Here's one of the things about that. And so I decided to like go look into, I decided to like go look into that stat a little bit more. It is 100% true. The Warriors are 8-0 at home in the postseason.
Might as well go home.
No, hold on.
What?
You're not going to like this next, you're not going to like this stat, this next stat either.
God. What are you doing?
They're winning these games by an average of 15 points. All right?
Might as well be 50,
okay,
Kevin.
Okay, well, you know, and that is also a very fair point. But then you get this. Is that person added, and they had like a 55-point loss. It wasn't quite that much, but it was really high against the Grizzlies, and then beat the brakes off of them to win that series. That is where the truth is different. That is not the case. I know it looks like that game was a blowout because the Warriors won by 14 points. Did you know that with 8 minutes left in that game, the Warriors had the lead? And so,
I did not know that.
I know that the Grizzlies had the lead with 8 minutes to go in that game. Now it's a 1-point lead, but still, Like, you're right there with 8 minutes to go. The last time you were in that building, you were whipping their ass. So statistically, logically, all of that tells you that the Warriors should win this game and will win this game. But you look at the Warriors' last closeout game at home. Memphis kept it close almost midway through the fourth quarter. So, like, that's a sign for optimism. The last time you were in that building, I know you blew it, and you blew it hard, and you made reference to, like, this should be 2-2, but you were there. You had control of the Warriors in that game. So, like, you've at least shown. The thing with Phoenix, I know they won, but you hadn't shown that you could compete with them for an entire game.
Yep.
And you can argue that maybe the Mavericks haven't either since they got destroyed in the third quarter. But you have shown that you can put a hefty lead on Golden State. And Memphis showed that they could stay close in a closeout game. So there are reasons to at least hope, even if you don't think they're going to win.
I'm going to go back to my mantra from the Phoenix series, Kevin. And I haven't been that way this series at all because they've just kind of been up and down with it. Get up by 10 and stay up by 10. Like, if they do that thing, that'll make me looking at, is it Saturday's game?
Yes.
That would make Saturday's game go, okay, hold on. We can do this because they just showed that they can play their game because they're up by 10, stay up by 10 mentality. It does have a lot to do with keep shooting three-pointers, but they showed the other night that they can now add something else. And Dorian Finney-Smith, if he keeps going to the basket like that, I'd be very happy with what their game is because so far it's been, all right, well, now Dinwiddie, it's your turn. All right, well, now Luka, it's your turn to try. And they're collapsing. Their defense is collapsing. They didn't expect Dorian and Reggie to actually do that. They didn't expect Bertans to put it on the floor. And whether, you know, it was 4 points or five or whatever it was for Bertans, it was effective in that they now had to think about it. And it was something that they were just in cruise control. This is a team that can get into that mentality of, hey, we're just kind of hanging out doing our thing because we know we can win. But if you get them in that mentality and get out in front of them real quickly, it could be a bad thing for them. Somebody did ask you to kind of explain usage. Maybe we can explain that at another point.
Yes, but that is a great question, and that's a very fair question. We'll dive back into that at another point. But the shorthand is essentially not only like how much time you have the ball in your hand, though that is a huge part of it. There's other things that factor into it. But yeah. You can almost think about it in terms of how much time does that person have the ball in their hand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.